This is Tom Warren inviting you to listen to 5 Gospel Minutes, inviting you to take just a few minutes out of what I'm sure for you is a very busy day to think about your soul, to think about how your life can be better, to think about how you can handle the various problems of life better because you know a little bit more about the Word of God. Our basic effort on this program is to preach nothing but the Bible. And we've been studying for the past week on the living message of the book of Job. And what I mean by that is this. The living message is the message for man living today. What does the book of Job say? What can you and I learn from it that we can apply to our message, to our lives today? I pointed out in our first lesson that the book of Job raises basically 6 questions. 1. Does any man serve God for naught? 2. Why am I, a righteous man, suffering so intensely? 3. Could a just God allow a righteous man to suffer this way? 4. By implication, would the existence of suffering prove the non-existence of God? 5. Is it not the case that suffering has value in spiritual discipline? And then the 6th one will be, can a mere man be a judge, a true judge, of God's creative activity? And so, having covered the first 5 questions, we come now to question number 6. Can a mere man be a true judge of God's creative activity? Now, the account of this is found in the book of Job in chapter 38, verses 1 or verse 42. Chapter 38, verse 1 through 42, verse 6. Now, who asked this question? The question was asked by God Himself. Secondly, what were the circumstances in which this question was asked? Job has now lost, first, his possessions, second, his children, third, his wife, fourth, his friends, and fifth, his health, his physical health. All of the basic things upon which human beings ordinarily lean or prop themselves have been swept away from him. Job is left only with his own integrity and his own faith in God, if indeed he can maintain these. Job has complained bitterly against his suffering. In a sense, Job has vindicated the confidence which God had in him. But Job is still very much perplexed. He asks, first, why does God not answer my questions? And secondly, is God unjust in allowing me, a righteous man, to suffer? Out of this circumstance, God speaks to Job. Now, third, what is the basic significance of this question? That is the question, can a mere man be a true judge of God's creative activity? To answer it, we must recall that God's basic purpose here seems clearly to be to bring to Job the truth that insofar as ultimates are concerned, no mere man can be a true judge of God's creative activity. That is, no mere man has a platform from which to charge God. You did wrong in creating the world and man. You ought not to have created them. But God's answer to Job's complaining, considered in the form of a series of questions, makes clear that while a man may and must not, if he is to be saved, Romans 1:18-32, come to knowledge that God is, and even a great deal of the attributes of God, that fact does not warrant his ascribing to himself the intelligence, knowledge, and wisdom to question God's creative activity. No man has the platform on which to stand while asserting that if God created the world and man while knowing that man would sin, he, God, did wrong, was guilty of evil doing in that creative activity. There is simply no way that any mere human being can stand out in space, as it were, to challenge God for having created the world and man. But our time is gone. We cannot really discuss any further today this great and awesome question. And so I ask you to study the book of Job and be back with us next time as we continue that study. I'm so glad you've been with us today. I hope you'll be with us tomorrow. Until then, may God bless and keep you, is my sincere prayer.